Guru Dev Kripa Bindu Diya Karoi Darshe Trinapeka Atihin Guru Dev Guru Dev Kripa Bindu Diya Karoi Darshe Trinapeka Atihin Guru Dev Shakala Shahane Baladiya Karo Nijamane Sprihahin Shakala Shahane Baladiya Karo Nijamane Sprihahin Shakale Shanvana Karite Shakati Dehanatha Jata Jata Shakale Shamana Karite Shakati Dehanatha Jata Jata Tabeto Gaibo Harinama Shuke Aparada Habe Hata Tabeto Gaibo Tabeto Gaibo Harinama Shuke Aparada Habe Hata Kabehe no kripa labhya ajan kritartha hoibe nat Kabehe no kripa labhya Ajana Kritartha Hoibe Nath Shakti Buddhihin Ameyati Din Karomore Atashat Shakti Buddhihin Ameyati Din Karomore Atashat Jogata Vichare Kichu Nahi Pai Tomar Karuna Shah Jogata bichare kichu nahi pai tomar karuna sha Karuna Prana hoile kandiya kandiya prana rakibo a Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya prana rakibo a Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Koro E Dashe Chuna Peka Otihi Gurudev Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Koro E Dashe Chuna Peka Otihi Jai Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ashta Shakhi Vrinda Sriman Mahaprabhu Shri Panchatattva Shri Nrsingha Shri Prahlad Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Praishtaya Bhutane Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatya Deshatarne Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Tinamine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdeye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Prema Dhyā Sri Rupa Anuga Bhakti Dhyā Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtiye Dina Tarine Rupanu Gaviruddha Pisidanta Dvanta Harine Om Agyana Timirandha Sya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manamapi Shatiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yataf Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashe Hoi Nija Vanchita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greatly honored to be asked to speak in this August Assembly. Often in the beginning of talks we say something like this, but really it is a great, great honor and a great, great challenge to speak of such an exalted personality in the presence of so many exalted personalities. My thanks to His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami for kind of giving me this opportunity. It's because of this. I wrote this. I didn't write this. I actually didn't visit these books until I was asked to give this talk. So I thought I'd better revise. I haven't been in contact with... I started reading and I was surprised. I don't think I could write like that now. I was in contact by reading his writings and writings about him by his disciples. And it's really profound. So it was something like a translation, transposition from what he gave. And Jogata bichare kichu nahi pai tomara karuna sha. The mercy to be able to compile that. I'm amazed also reading it. That what a tremendous personality. It seems almost unbelievable that such a personality could even appear in this world at all. Some devotees say to me that you must have been a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in your previous life, but no way, no way, no way I'm a god brother of Srila Prabhupada. No way, no way, no way. In compiling that book, I had to always remember that Srila Prabhupada said, you cannot jump over to the previous guru. So our connection, my god brothers and god sisters, our connection is specifically with Srila Prabhupada, and his connection is with his guru. But it's all one chain, and it all goes up to Krishna. We are connected. We definitely have a very strong connection. If anyone can even have the interest to read or hear about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, generally speaking, it means they must have some connection, some devotion. Mostly it's devotees who want to hear. There may be non-devotees also who want to hear, but they're on a completely different platform. Those who want to hear about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur means already favored by his mercy. It's writing this book, speaking about him, hearing about him. It's offering Ganga to Ganga. The system of worshipping Ganga is to get in the Ganga and offer her water to herself. What are we offering? Nothing to offer. We can't decrease her by taking a little water in our hands, and we can't increase her by putting it back. But we become blessed by her. That is her mercy. So similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada, and all the great acharyas. There's a saying in Hindi, I've got nothing to do with that person. Means I've nothing to take from them and nothing to give to them. Nothing to do, no relationship whatsoever. But by the mercy of such acharyas, they give everything. Krishna se toma, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati acha. They gave Krishna. And they want us to give something to them also. They want us to give Krishna to others, being unqualified. But still, they tell us, you have to do this. So We have to try to take their mercy and pass it on. It's a living principle. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world 150 earth years ago, and he passed away, but he's living. He's living. Here's the evidence. So many devotees are specifically remembering him today. He, among his several poetic compositions, one which is recited daily in the Gauriya Mats and the branches, sub-branches, is the song beginning Krishna Hoite Chatur Mukha Hoi Krishna Sevan Mukha, outlining the, or giving the names of the acharyas, the prominent acharyas in our parampara. And at the end, they don't, the last verse is not sung. A different verse is given. And you may say, well, how can you change the verse? Because in the last verse that he wrote a prayer of expressing his humility. Ami seva udasin namete tridandi din Sri Siddhanta Saraswati. He said, at the same time he's recognizing he is in this line of acharyas, but he says that I'm not interested in service, but I have this name, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So even though he's such a towering figure, even among so many great acharyas, he presents himself as the most humble servant of all the previous acharyas. And that is why he is such a towering figure. Of course, he's eternally perfect. Paramahamsa Kula Churamani. He's the crest jewel, even among so many Paramahamsas. He's eternally like that. But he's eternally so great because he is eternally internalizing Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorivasa Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. Very simple instruction to remember. We all know this verse, and maybe the most difficult to, at least I feel, it's very difficult to actually live like that. But the more we do so, the more we go down, the more we go up, the more we get pulled up. And that was a characteristic of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada, if we see so many incidents from his life, we might think that Trinadapi Sunichena, somewhere along the line, he forgot it. He might not appear to be very humble. He was aggressive. And he used that word in relation to himself. He spoke about the aggressive pronouncement of the Absolute Truth. Aggression is not generally a characteristic linked with devotees, especially not those in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada spoke about this on more than one occasion, that we have Vaishnavas, Hanuman and Arjuna, they're being aggressive for Krishna. But especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya, it's not expected. But he was highly aggressive in his presentation of Krishna consciousness. We can understand that he did so out of his utter humility. This is another phrase that he used. Utter humility. Utter humility, the word utter, gives the sense that there's not even a trace of anything else but humility. There's not even a slight mixture of anything else but humility. So with great aggression, he preached Bhakti Siddhanta. His name is Bhakti Siddhanta, one of his names. And he preached Bhakti Siddhanta. But to preach Bhakti Siddhanta, to get it through, he saw some aggression is needed, because everyone in this world, apart from those who come to this world to lift us up, they are Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arasaba Shunile Nahoi Prabhu Chete Ulash. This any statement which was against the Bhakti Siddhanta, the proper understanding of what is bhakti, or which was rasabhas. There's no real translation, but I think you all know what it means. A reflection of something resembling feelings in relation to Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like to hear this. He didn't become pleased. If people spoke to him about Krishna, many people were eager to speak to him about Krishna, their various realizations, but they couldn't get near him. He was protected by Swarup Damodar. There was the case of Vallabha Bhatta. So he spoke Bhakti Siddhanta. If we speak of bhakti, many people will object. And many people will like it also, especially here in India. Many people will like it. Not everyone. We see so many Bengalis are coming here. But so many Bengalis are atheists also. Not just latent atheists, but blatant atheists. Committed atheists. And pride themselves in it. As atheists usually do, thinking themselves more intelligent. So to preach Bhakti Siddhanta, which is what? It's not such a difficult... If we read Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's writings, I can assure you that if you have trouble reading them in English, then in Bengali, it's also on the same level. I've sometimes, in the course of compiling this, I gave this some passages which I couldn't understand to some educated Bengalis, and they couldn't even understand the words, let alone the syntax, many of the words. One time I showed some of the Gopi Puranadam, the Prabhu, and he couldn't work it out either. So it's really a complex presentation, which is, he is non-different from his teachings, and the way he presents his teachings, and he did so in that time and that place and that circumstance, and that is his eternal characteristic. But if we can enter into that, actually this book would have been much smaller, but one time a Gaudiya Math devotee told me that, how can you write this without reading all the old Gaudiya magazines? I said, I can't read it. I can read it, but I can't understand. He said, no, you try, you pray, and you can understand it. So if we can do that, another thing we find also that in the Gaurya Math in Bengal, it's a very broad term, Gaurya Math, that anyone who's interested in reading books, they don't read his books, hardly. They read Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada's books, it's the same message, but it's very easy to understand. Even some of the words are somewhat unusual and difficult, because it's a technical subject. We have our own vocabulary. It's, now I'll go off on a little tangent. Sometimes I was told when this book came out that, oh, I'm glad to see that, and now I can understand how Prabhupada is following his guru. I don't know. Was there ever any doubt about that? Isn't it obvious? And if we look at the teachings of the previous acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada said this so many times, it's all the same. You can go back centuries and see the commentaries of the previous acharyas. It's all the same teaching. But it's presented differently for different audiences. So his style of presentation, his eternal characteristic, is to present Bhakti Siddhanta very clearly. That might seem to be opposite to what I just said, but actually, if we enter into it and try to understand it, then by his grace, by our own Srila Prabhupada's grace, we'll see that he gave Bhakti Siddhanta in such a manner, practically impossible to misinterpret. There was a reason why he gave such a style, such words he used. It's practically impossible to misinterpret, although non-devotees and Mitya Bhakta, false devotees, they can somehow or other find some way to squeeze some other kind of meaning out of it. But hardly that happens. So he was very clear in establishing Bhakti Siddhanta, the essence of which is very simple. And we find that our own Srila Prabhupada, in his worldwide preaching mission, a very different kind of audience. He wasn't speaking to the intelligentsia of Bengal, mostly the intelligentsia of Bengal, who at that time, we can understand, it was very common that people would know so many things from Shastra. We can't imagine. Just ordinary, what we might call ordinary people. They had so much knowledge because the culture was there. People knew so many things, which makes it open to multiple interpretations, because basically people don't want to surrender to Krishna. That's why we're here. So our own Srila Prabhupada, he had a fresh preaching field. It was fresh in the sense that no one had gone there to preach pure Krishna consciousness previously. He went to America first. There had been no pure preaching of Krishna consciousness there previously. Someone had gone previously, but he was in the line of Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta. He wasn't giving the real thing. So Srila Prabhupada, to these people who had no idea of who is Krishna, no idea even of reincarnation. Growing up in England in the 1960s and 70s, I didn't hear about reincarnation until it came up in a class in school as a side point in a Shakespeare play we were supposed to be studying. Never heard of it. So Srila Prabhupada preached really ABC, and he gave us everything in due course. But he very much emphasized on these points that we are not the body, we're eternal spirit soul. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all his eternal servants, and we simply have to surrender to him. That's right. That's it. That's everything. That is Bhakti Siddhanta. That's the same thing that he preached. But because of Hinduism, he preached in a very complex style. I'll explain that. What is Hinduism? Garv se kaho hum Hindu hai. There's a Hindi saying. Say it with pride. We are Hindus. Hinduism means there's the Vedic literature, the absolute truth. There's the Vedic culture, and people don't want to surrender to Krishna. So they reinterpret it, misinterpret it, malinterpret it. I think that word hasn't reached the English dictionary yet, has it? Tattvavit Prabhu? It's a Prabhupada word, malinterpret. Prabhupada used that word. Misinterpret is one thing, but malinterpret gives a sense of deliberately twisting it to get out a different meaning, which is opposite. It's called deconstructionism, right? Something like that. Anyway, so there's a whole world, the whole world of Hinduism. Everyone knows Krishna, and everyone's pious. Generally, Hindu means birth in India means pious. Not everyone. Kamsa wasn't pious, and there are his representatives, small, still going on. But he had to contend with people who are piously, very scholarly, avoiding Krishna and trying to present that there is something, na chaitanyat, what is that? Na chaitanyat, Krishna jagati, paratattvam, paramiha. Krishna gives intelligence and knowledge and takes it away also. There's no higher truth than Shadaishvarya Purno Bhagavan Yaiha Bhagavan Sasrayamaya. I left my brain somewhere. There's no higher truth than Krishna, and there's no higher truth than Krishna Chaitanya. So avoiding that, or even accepting it and not accepting it at the same time. Or even those who are accepting it, even though there are so many good devotees of Krishna, but the ultimate pinnacle of Bhakti Siddhanta is Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Shima. The glories of Radharani, which are the ultimate limit, although it's unlimited, of prema. So this is what he really came to give, what all our acharyas really come to give. But we have to start somewhere. And in the case of Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he had to combat so many wrong ideas derived from Shastra. If the idea is not from Shastra, then at least those who are within the camp of allegiance to Shastra, they can dismiss it outright, even within our group. But if it's based on Shastra and it's word jugglery, then you need to unjuggle. How are we going to unjuggle? Maybe some of you have the experience of opening up a Brahmin thread You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's not just me. Huh? You open it up, and then you find it so tangled, and then you spend half an hour trying to untangle it, and then you just get another one. Now, you shouldn't do that with a Brahmin thread, but another way to do it is to just cut. And he was cutting. He was very cutting. He was famous for that. He was the personification of Santa Evasya Chindanti Manovya Sangam Uktibihi. That the Krishna says, if we're actually intelligent, we should go to a butcher. That's how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur unwrapped this verse. That the sadhu, he stands just like the, not exactly a butcher, but the person who is entrusted to cut the sacrificial animal. That is his duty, to cut the sacrificial animal. So that's taken from this Manovya Sangha Mukti Bihi. The saints, they cut the material attachments by their words. So he was very expert in speaking unpalatable words. Actually very sweet. But it, for those who are jaundiced, which means everyone in this world, they would appear very bitter. Now I'm going to say something very unpalatable. You're all nonsense. You're all just pretending to do bhakti, to fill your stomachs, becoming gurus for name and fame. Shall I go on? If I went on, what would... Of course, I shouldn't have done that and prefaced it to make it known that I'm not really saying that with my heart. I don't really mean it. You're all glorious personalities. But can you imagine someone, especially you know, Vaishnavas, doing bhakti, respected, and someone comes and tells you're all bogus? You might have felt a little discomfort when I said that. But what if you go on and on and on all your life and you keep on hearing this again and again about yourself? We feel very disturbed. We may want to retaliate. We may want to stop by whatever means. This is how Saraswati Thakur spoke throughout his life. That was the overt manifestation of how he spoke. He did also speak on topics Radhar Mahima Prema Rasa Shima, but he was very cautious about doing so. When he went to Vrindavan, Radha Kunda. At Radha Kunda, he spoke on the Upanishads. But the Upanishad, there was mercy on the Upanishads that they could get entrance to Radha Kunda by his mercy. Otherwise, they are simply the personified Vedas. They're saying, "Well, we're fed up of all this all this stuff. We want to join Krishna in Vrindavan." So he mercifully brought the Upanishads to Radha Kunda. And as if to say to the Babajis there, hey, you need to hear this. You're not there. But they thought he's not there. When he spoke like this, they thought, this just proves what we always said. He's not a devotee. He's a jnani. His response was to say that they are not living at Radha Kund, they are living at Narak Kund. Narak means hell. Living in Radha Kund, there's no higher aspiration than this. He said, he also said, I will not live in Radhakund. I am not qualified. I can stay at Govardhan. He made it a mutt in Radhakund to worship Gaurakishore Das Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I will go there and serve them and come back. That was his attitude. To the world, he appeared very harsh. And there were several attempts on his life. They wanted to kill him. He wouldn't stop. He wouldn't stop talking like that. It was proposed to him that everything you do is so good, so nice. If you just tone down a bit, then all the Vaishnavs of Bengal would follow you. But he didn't. He went on speaking like that. 150 years ago he appeared in this world. Sometimes we may think, well, what was it like to be there? What would be like, maybe if I was just born a little earlier, just like we see Srinivasa Acharya, he was running from place to place to meet the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after the departure of Mahaprabhu. But every time he would find that just he was going to meet them and they passed away. Narottam Das, Sheshangana Payaka, Kande, Narottama Das, thinking, I just came a little late. If I'd have been born a little earlier, I could have associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates. So we may think that if I was just born a little earlier, I could have been there. Of course, we should understand that Krishna is our greatest well-wisher. And he's put us in the situation we are in for our benefit. Our own Srila Prabhupada said, I am 80% lenient. Sometimes he said 90%. But anyway, I wonder if we could have lived with him. May think, well, maybe I could live with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was nicer. But he was also very strict in following Chatur Mas. I wonder how many... He was very strict, actually. With his inner circle, he was very strict. Could we live with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? We like to hear about him at a comfortable distance. Separated by time. It's nice to hear. If we'd have been there, we could have directly seen him. Could we? Could we have seen him? It seems obvious that if we were there 130 years ago, 120 years ago, 110 years ago, we could have seen him, maybe. He himself, there's one anecdote we like to hear, that shortly after the passing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, before the whole big preaching mission had started to unfold, one well-known, highly respected professor came to meet Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. And he started talking in the assembly of Prabhupada and his disciples. How, yeah, you know me, yes, I used to come to Bhakti Bhavan and I would speak on the Gita to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He would hear from me. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur became very angry. This worldly person saying, I used to teach Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, you never saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur in your life. He called him a liar. He called him a liar. The man was shocked. What are you talking about? So many times I went, you saw me. You saw how he gave respect to me, he fed me. I know the name of all your siblings. How can you say that I never saw him? It didn't make any sense to him whatsoever. Saraswati Thakur said, just as Krishna is adhokshaja, he is beyond the range of our senses, beyond the range of our vision. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur cannot see him, cannot hear him. You see, well, definitely there was an impression on the retina. There was something caught by the eardrum, but it gets transformed by upper siddhanta. It gets transformed into a worldly impression. Therefore we pray, Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We're praying the Guru to give us sight. I can already see. I can see very well. I can see this. 8 minutes to nine. 8 minutes to nine? 8 minutes to nine. Good. So we can see, but we cannot see. Pashanapi na pashyati, at the beginning of Shukadeva's instructions. We see, but we don't see, because we don't see Atma Tattva. We don't see the reality of the Self. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati came to speak, Bhakti Siddhanta. The reality of the Self, which is very painful to hear. We can put sugar coating on it, but it's very painful to hear that I'm not this body, when I love my body. It doesn't seem to make sense to say that I'm not the body. And to say that I am internally a servant, when everything I do in this world is based on the principle which is obvious to me, Ishvaro Ham Aham Bhogi, everything in this world is meant for me. And we have to hear that it's not. We are constitutionally servants. It's very bitter to hear. Actually, it's very sweet to hear. But it's very hard to accept for materialistic people. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur seems almost deliberately he spoke clearly and in a manner that was meant to provoke opposition. But he himself explained that I'm not doing it simply to be confrontational. He wasn't going in there just to make people unhappy. That was to upset them. That was a side effect. Just we have to speak the truth straightforwardly. Someone has to do it. The Vedas don't do it. Vedeshu durlabham. It may be difficult to find in the Vedas. And it may be difficult to find even in the books of the previous Vaishnava Acharyas, because we read and we reprogram it. So manovya sangam uktibihi. Get this straight first of all. Jeev Krishna Das, Abishas, Korleta, Ordukanai, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. This is the beginning of all our auspiciousness. And without that, there's no question of any benefit whatsoever. So he was very, very strong. Not a ruffian. Very dignified. You've seen out of all the photos that, or pictorial depictions of him that could have been chosen for this, the posters on the gates along the road for this anniversary celebration. There's this one of him walking. Actually, it's next to the governor of Bengal. But the governor of Bengal is taken out of that photo. And him walking with long dress. And that, to me, is the perfect picture to show of him from our perspective. If and when we go to the spiritual world, we'll see him in another feature. But he presented himself like this to the world. He presented himself as a sadhu, deliberately. He's dressed as a sadhu, he's clearly a sadhu. But he's not an ordinary sadhu, because ordinary sadhus, they don't dress with some mixture of Western dress. And mostly the sadhus were with just deliberately living in poverty with torn dress, and old, soiled like this. But he presented himself like that. He, to mix with the high society. He deliberately aimed at giving his message to the high society and taking help from the, of course he takes help from Krishna, but he has to operate within this world. So although most of India at that time, and especially in Bengal, was more and more becoming against the British, but he kindly engaged them in Mahaprabhu's service. That was his mercy. But they wouldn't have come if he had presented himself as what we might call an ordinary Vaishnava. We can see from this dignity, the grace and the poise, naturally graceful. He was often criticized because there was the independence movement of India going on at the time. And following Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lead, he was a collaborator. That's a bad word. He collaborated with the British government. We know very well that his outlook was that we can't waste time on politics and trying to get independence. We have to preach this message of Mahaprabhu. We can't wait for any such thing as political upheaval. So he was accused of promoting a slave mentality. Because after all, Vaishnavism is slavishness. Jive Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. There's no word, as far as I know, exactly that translates from the English word slave to Sanskrit. Is that correct? They use the word das, but the whole concept is very different. Das means, it's more commonly used as servant. So he was promoting also that we're all servants, we're all slaves of Krishna. So he was accused of promoting a slave mentality where we should promote freedom, independence. But he retorted that the Gaudiya Math stands for the dignity of the human race. He wanted to establish the dignity of Vaishnavism, which had become equated with everything undignified, the worst possible things, all bad things. So he wanted, that's another reason we can say, at least we can say one effect of his speaking in such a high-blown manner, sophisticated manner, is to show that Vaishnavas are not uneducated. They are highly educated. He also said that we should, the materialists, they're interested in, what is that? Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri. They're interested in high position, high birth, opulence, learning, beauty. They give much importance to these things. So he said, we should be a little more ahead. You know, we should be more dignified than the materialists, more learned than them. Even we can show opulence. He came in a car to Vrindavan as if to say to the Babaji's there, this is how to practice Vaishnavism now. It's completely outrageous in their manner of thinking. So he said we should be a little ahead. Now, doesn't that go against the spirit of Vaishnavism? To show ourselves better than others? But he was doing that to convince everyone that Vaishnavas are the best people in the world. They are above. He showed deference to kings. When the King of England, King of the British Empire, came, he had a whole, in his magazines, he had a whole big special edition made in glorification of the king. Long live the king. But he wanted to tell them that the king is also the servant of Krishna. He wanted to, this was all part of his strategy to bring everyone to Krishna and to show that humility and vairagya doesn't necessarily mean to live like a beggar. Previous generations of Vaishnavas had been like that. But he had taken from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur the mandate to re-establish Varnashram Dharma, which is another revolutionary thing, seeing as at least superficially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to reject that. Now, I'm supposed to finish at 9 o'clock. But looks like I got an attentive crowd here. So, who's in charge here? Krishna. Who's in charge on Krishna's behalf? Oh, we don't care for any rules, right? We're on the platform of Raga Bhakti. Maybe I should go into that. We're fasting this morning. Okay. Give some spiritual food. Could we live with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Who wants to... Shall I go on for 4 hours, 5 hours? You may say yes, but something down here may say something else. Two hours was usually his minimum. Once he started speaking, and once he started speaking means any time of day and night. It wasn't just formally sitting on a seat, but he would just start speaking any time, any place, anywhere. And he wouldn't stop. He would keep on going. Sometimes 5 hours, 6 hours. Sometimes his servants would be trying to gesticulate to him. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan, he's going on and on, and all the devotees are worn out. We like to think. Another thing is, we wouldn't understand either, because most of his disciples couldn't understand what he said also. And after the talk, they would go to Sridhar Maharaj or Ananta Vasudeva or Sundarananda and say, "What did he say?" And then it would be translated. That's what our own Srila Prabhupada did. He took the same thing and put it into easier language so that we can all understand it. Could we see him? I was asking, could we actually see him? We can see him by hearing. The process is seeing by hearing, which can go on, must go on. Seeing by hearing, shutikshitapata. If we see a sadhu dressed in rags or a sadhu dressed in fine clothing, either way, if we make that the main criterion by which we judge them, then we're not seeing them. We have to hear them. Only 10 minutes extra. Okay. We have to hear them. But it's very difficult to hear. Very difficult to understand. And if we can understand it, it's very difficult to tolerate, because he's cutting out everything. Cutting out. Because we're covered by maya. Cut all that out, and what do we find? You find some rough block of stone, and some people who are expert sculptors, they can see in a block of stone Krishna. They know how to chip, 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 chip. Or at the beginning, you have to go vroom, and then chip, 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 chip. And eventually, Krishna is revealed, and we have to dress him. So he was difficult to hear. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Madhurya Jvala Premardya, Shri Rupa Anoga Bhaktida, Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigra. What's the word? Shri Varsha Padavi Deyavi Dayataya Kripadya Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha. He was very powerful in giving knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. What is our relationship with Krishna? At the beginning, we can all know we are all servants of Krishna. That is the basic principle for everyone, for every jiva in the universe. And then we have to come up more and more and more and more. So he was very powerful in giving that. I had the fortune to hear several of his direct disciples speaking. They all spoke very, of course, our own Srila Prabhupada, but others are very, very powerful. The way they spoke was very powerful, very eloquent also. They'd imbibed his way of speaking. Not to insult anyone, but they didn't have the same effect. They're all eternal associates. But he empowered different devotees for different purposes. He empowered our own Srila Prabhupada to take his message in an unprecedented way, to bring people from all over the world. Ebe Josh Gushuk Tribhuvan. His glories should be sung all over the universe. Actually, they are sung all over the universe. Not here. Not on this plane. The demigods in the higher worlds, they literally came to hear from him. Just like in London, Srila Prabhupada at Radha Landanishwara's temple said we should make a Vyasa San for Brahma and Narad, because they come here. They regularly come here. So he would speak. One of his disciples had the vision of seeing him speaking to so many demigods would come and listen to him. His position is far above Saravadeva Mayo Guru, who the Acharya, the Guru, his position is everything of value in the demigods. That is there in him, and much, much more also. Srila Prabhupada called him a Vaikuntha man. To just sum it all up, he's not of this world. He came from another world. He's on a different plane. That was very obvious. Is very obvious. He's on a different plane. He's come from above to lift us up. And I often think that our own Srila Prabhupada, same of course, he came from above to lift us up. But Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada's modus operandi was, okay, I'm up here, come up. I'm pulling you up, come up. And our own Srila Prabhupada was more like, take my hand, let's go together. Hare Krishna. I'm told I should finish. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Yeah.